Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group. Thanks for downloading The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Today we have Jim Calli, the managing partner from McFarland Stanford, with us, and we're going to have a great conversation about growing your landscaping business. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since Marty's job site visits with Seth, and let me tell you what they are. Sometimes I think we as owners of and leaders of landscaping companies, we lose focus on what the job is, and that is to have great looking landscapes, right? Seth and I, once a month, we go out and we visit job sites. We eat a Jimmy John's sandwich in the truck. I usually drive. He takes notes. We make, in the course of 3 hours, we make 7, 8, 9 visits to job sites. These are active job sites where the crews are working. We take pictures. We hand out candy bars. We tell guys, you know, good job. We teach, we train. It really lets Seth and I see what's going on in our company. I hope it's something you'll consider doing soon for yourself as well. Now on to The Grow Show. Jim Calli, welcome to The Grow Show.
Hey, Marty. Glad to be here.
Well, super, super glad to have you here. Why don't you tell the story about how we met and maybe talk about the kerosene heater belching fumes in our face. Tell a little bit about how you and I got connected in 2016.
First of all, that's 8 years ago. That's amazing in itself and what we've done.
It is amazing.
Together in 8 years and we didn't even know each other back then. No, so you were hosting Grow in February of 2016 at Complete Land Sculpture here in Dallas, Texas. They were a client of ours, one of the first clients of McFarland Stanford, matter of fact, our second client. And they had asked us to host one of the breakout groups for you as part of what Grow stood for. I was unfamiliar with Grow. So was Jason New, who's my business partner and the other half of McFarland Stanford. But we signed up. And I laugh about this story a bit because of the fact that the presentation was written in the McDonald's across the street on a big white yellow pad. Jason was mad at me about what the heck did you make us volunteer for?
What is this?
And then we get over to Complete and how nice you were to put us outside with a kerosene heater that almost asphyxiated us for 6 hours when it was really cold outside. So we were just telling a story about us. We were giving landscapers the basics of communication and how to run effective teams about consistency. And so we did our little show about, you know, what were 5 main points about running a landscape business that they could use every single day. And did it, I think you may just do it 12 times, 14 minutes each or something like that. But it was a great day. Got to meet you, got to meet Vince. And here we are 8 years later working together hand in hand on most things that both of us do.
It's amazing, Jim. You know, not only are we good business partners, we've got a good bond here on a professional level. You know, my favorite part, I remember watching you two present and I was impressed. I'm like, these guys have some great information and you really got me with Ohio. What is Ohio?
Ohio is only handle it once. It's a great acronym that I read about in the Dallas Morning News. When I was just in business myself, and I thought about it, I mean, only handle it once. How many pieces of paper do we touch? Emails, text, everything, you know, and teaching the audience a day about Ohio and just moving through all bits of information as quickly as possible will make you a more effective leader.
Well, Ohio perked my ears up. I liked you then. I still like you today. Now, Vince did tell me to ask you about how he was mean to you on the phone. I don't recall this story. What did Vince do?
Well, I mean, at the time, I think he looked at us as competitors, and maybe we were. I didn't look at us that way and didn't know much about you guys. You didn't know much about us, but he gave us the lecture on, listen, if somebody asks you for a business card, you can give them a business card, but there will be no business cards out to be passed out to anybody who's here. So it felt pretty good.
I like it.
Yeah, well, Vince, by the way, I didn't know anything about him and also assumed he was in his 30s or 40s or something like that. And then I meet him and he's in his 20s, and not that made a difference.
Yeah, 23 to be exact.
I mean, he commanded a room, and understandably, but, you know, anyway, lots of business cards got handed out that week, and it's because we had so much in common, what you were presenting and what we presented, and I don't think we haven't missed a Grow since.
No, well, you've been an invaluable partner to us. We love working with you. We've got some amazing success stories with the companies that we've worked with, and, you know, Jim, to be frank with you, so much of what we've learned from you was from, goes back to your MDA FedEx Kinko lessons. Tell us a little bit, because you were involved in a heavy duty landscaping company. Tell us a little bit about what you did there, and share some of that foundational knowledge that you have, that you've been sharing with all of our ACE peer groups the last 8 years.
Well, you know, take a step back. It actually was before even FedEx. It was International Paper. So it was my training in International Paper when I got out of college to my days with Kinko's, and then became FedEx Office from there. Is foundational business principles are foundational business principles. And, you know, what I didn't learn at those two places, I certainly learned in business school at SMU. And then getting into the landscape industry was just not a whole different animal. I told people, you know, at the time when I left FedEx, I was actually running international sales and marketing for the stores overseas. And I'm like, if I can teach people how to push a green button in 9 different languages and sell copies, we certainly can figure out how to push a mower and do it well, efficient, and do it better than anybody else. But the principles that I brought to all those pieces were how are you going to be the best at what you're at, knowing what your ideal client is, to use your language, right? Understanding your ideal client, and then how do you train to that throughout your organization? So taking those basic business principles of returning calls, Ohio, only handling things once, the rule of the 5 and 10 rule of communication. If communication is received before 5 p.m., you reply to it the same day. After 5 p.m., by 10 o'clock the next morning. And that applies to every business, right? And so standardization and consistency of language is what we worked on immensely when I was in the landscape industry and work on today with all of our clients. And I learned all of that from both international.
What do you mean by consistency of language? Because that is, as you're speaking here, I'm thinking of all the things that, you know, now I'm realizing where some of my material is coming from. Maybe I've helped you in the same way. Like, we've worked so long together now and in concert with one another that I think we've equally helped each other get better. What do you mean by language? Share that.
A couple different things. First of all, consistency of language would be the glossary of terms that, you know, is in effect for Grunder Landscape Company. You know, do we call it turf and we call it soils, and just making sure that you train on this, because ironically, when you hire people, they all have their own approach to things. Well, what's the Grunder approach, right? What's the McFarland Stanford approach? What's the Grow Group's approach to what you're going to do? And, you know, success to me, and I say this all the time, is the day that I felt really successful in the day-to-day of the landscape business was had something that had nothing to do with landscaping, but it was, I knew that I could ask my 50-plus middle managers the following question. If somebody asks you for a raise, what's your answer? And their answer was, we only give raises once a year. We do it in January, unless you've been promoted, or you potentially have received a job opportunity from someone else, right? And I knew I could say that to everybody who was trained about it on day one. They were trained how to handle it, and everybody would answer the question the same way. So, that, you know, you liken it to, we talk about Southwest Airlines at the time, we talk about Starbucks. It's like, you know, your personality is supposed to be there for relationships, but for the business side of things, we all need to be speaking the same language, and it just doesn't happen naturally. You have to train it, you got to repeat it. I actually remember one piece, you and I were together at the Four Seasons in Vail. And what did the HR, the department manager of HR up there say that it took 104 times repeating the same task before it was.
Yeah, before they got it.
And I looked at that, I think you and I probably looked at each other and was like, ugh. But at the end of the day, if it takes 104 times, then so
be it. That's what you got to do.
Get it 104 times and then let's just move on, right?
Right. And I think what I'm hearing you say here, Jim, is that there's scenarios we know that we are going to be faced with. And so many times we as owners, and even worse, our team in front of clients and coworkers is not prepared. And we're like, gosh, I should have thought of that, you know? And that's why I think what you're talking about here, the intentionality behind it, language matters. I can hear you saying that in my sleep, that, you know, the words we say, both spoken and written word, the words that we choose to describe things, all those make an impact, don't they?
Every ounce of them. Yes, sure. Yep.
Where did you learn that?
You know, that was probably a life lesson back to growing up in New Orleans. I was actually back to Brother James McLaughlin back in high school. Okay. It's just that words do matter. And you got to be very, and as we were all, you know, young lads growing up in the Catholic school type of thing, and where you were to go, and if you were to be a leader, that the intentionality of your words were going to go far. You know, some people say tonality makes a difference. I have a problem with that sometimes because I'm intense, and, like, you know, some people may read it as intense, but at the same time, you got to be very careful with the words you use, because people that are around you that are on your team are going to listen, especially if you're in a leadership position, and take it at their face value So that's why I talk about consistency, is making sure you understand what your face value is, because interpretation can mean a whole different answer to what you might be trying to discuss.
Right. And Jim, as I'm listening to you, I feel that you and I and Vince and Jason and your coaches, we would score very high on an emotional intelligence test. You are extremely aware of how you come across. And, you know, that's part of what I think we coach on is, you know, a lot of these men and women that are in our peer groups are sometimes for the first time, we're telling them, you're doing some things not so well here. And you got to listen to me if you want to go to another level. And that's very hard. And
I can think of Ace Discovery, and I can't believe I'm going to bring up this gentleman's name, but he'll probably stop in his tracks when he hears of this Chase O'Shea up in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
During Ace Discovery,
when he's bringing, you know, his company forward and his discussion points that he was making in his rooms when we're testing to figure out where his fit's going to be inside of the ACE program. And I had him so scared about using his words because he kept using what we call wishy-washy words, right?
Yeah, could, should, would.
Should, all the above, right? And
right.
I had him by the second day. It was pretty funny because I was coaching in the room with Tommy Cole. And together with Chase is like, I can't open my mouth anymore. How he used his words all the time was nothing but wishy-washy words. And the reason why it was there is that he was trying to soft lead, you know, try not to be convicted. But at the end of the day, I keep talking, be convicted, because you can always change things and people make mistakes, including yourself. And I'm very proud of Chase O'Shea. Now when he talks to me, he says, you don't know how often you've been on my shoulder. And I'm thinking about the words that are coming out of my mouth, because intentionality makes a difference.
And what a great lesson. You know, like, I don't know where else you're going to go to learn that. Like, that's part of what makes our ACEs unique. We'll go a little bit more about that.
Right.
You know, Jim, my favorite thing to do, I guess if I'm going to tell you what my favorite thing to do in the Grow Group is to have a group in here to Grunder Landscaping. I'm in the Steel Studios, which sits in the second story of our offices here in Miamisburg, Ohio. And the reason, Jim, you know this, why I like people coming to see me, because I know I have a good company. We want to be great. We're trying to get better. We don't have it all figured out.
Right.
But it's important that people realize I really am a landscaper. I don't think people realize that you are a landscaper too. Talk
right.
a little bit about your journey as a landscaper and the tremendous growth that you were a part of, because I think it's important that people understand you really do know how to grow a landscaping company. You did it.
Yeah, I was definitely part of a team and helped lead a team that took a landscape company, and we grew fast here in Dallas, Texas. I became part of that. I had young children and was traveling. You mentioned with FedEx, I was traveling 3.5 weeks a month and I wasn't home very much. And that's not exactly
all over the world too.
I was responsible for the international side of the business. So I was not even close. So I'd be gone weekends and things like that. And I was looking for to do something more local. I tried something, another local position. And then while doing that, became friends with the gentleman who landscaped my home and talked a lot about what the opportunity was in the industry. And frankly, it wasn't something I was interested in from afar. I was curious about the business. I'm always curious about business and the where, the why, and the how when things come about. And one thing led to another. He insisted that I take a look at some things and offered to barter for a fire pit in my backyard. I did, and I learned a lot of things really quick. First of all, cash flow is unbelievable in the landscape business. And when you come from the large side of the world, there's nothing quite like this. Secondly, I never dreamed how much people paid for landscaping services, because I didn't pay very much for landscaping services. I had no idea. Like, it was just clueless as to what that was all about. And so I got involved in the industry real quickly. Within 12 months, figured out the whole labor side of things with getting highly involved in the H2B program and what that meant for us as a company. And then we sky's the limit from there, started putting together a leadership team. The leadership team, you hire great people. What does that get you? More great people. What does more great people get you? It causes you the momentum of getting better as a company. Your revenue starts growing.
Get the flywheel rolling.
You get the flywheel rolling. And, you know, I joke I'm allergic to grass. Yes, but, you know, now at least I know what different types of turf there is. I didn't know much back then, but business is business. And at the end of the day, I would get on a mower when we started the largest jobs because I wanted to understand how to mow. And I learned a ton over a short period of time. And, you know, now McFarland Stanford's been in place 10 years since I stopped the day-to-day of landscaping. Basically doing what I did there. I mean, I was an on-site consultant. If I look in hindsight, I didn't realize it at the time, but at the time I was just an on-site coach that was there for, you know, almost 8 years And that's what I do for tons of companies along with you today.
Right. And I think, you know, that perspective that you had, you know, I'm on a board of a major organization. My term's just expiring. And I knew nothing about the industry in which I'm on the board of. And it caused me to question everything. Like, right. Why are you doing it that way? Wait a second. This doesn't make any sense to me. Did the same thing happen to you, like coming from corporate America and then you're driving, you know, 10 minutes away from your house to a job every day and there's a lot of hourly workers and you probably see most of the team every day when they come in the morning and come back at night? Tell me a little bit about that side of it.
I love that side of it. You know, I like building teams and, you know, whether it was in the corporate of America or whether it was small business here, I mean, building a team, especially one that you see every day or have the opportunity to see every day and learn faces with names and how they associate with clientele and the stories that they bring to the table. That's huge because guess what? You learn from each other. Then you can take those pearls of information and share them with other members of the team and you just get better as a company, right? In regards to your first question was, you know,
questioning everything.
My famous one for questioning was, you know, I always ask people, what are their pain points? What's bothering you? And this is with team members and it's actually with clients as well, right? And it was hilarious. It was always irrigation. And I was like,
irritation.
Like, give me a break. Like, solve this. It's like how hard can this be? Like, in all seriousness. Now, you say that's an irrigator, they're probably going to laugh at me and, you know, not get really, I'll just say very upset with me. But I'll never forget, I was working on a Friday that I had planned to spend a half a day with my head of maintenance to work on some strategic pieces that we were putting together. And the temperatures in Dallas, Texas, were going to go from an average high of like 85 to 105, not something totally abnormal here. And he says, well, with all due respect, we can't spend the day doing that. But what we had planned, he says, I'm going to be out changing clocks because one of his account managers happened to be on vacation. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to go with you because I don't know what that means. All right. And so let's go change clocks. And I did that a lot. And you can ask me about that later. But spending a day in the life of anybody that's on your team and understanding what they do and taking an outsider's perspective of something is a real good thing. Long story short, he had 90 clocks to change. That's not humanly possible. Like, I don't know how you would ever do that. And by the way, we had a lot more than that, but his two account managers represented 90. Everybody else was doing all the other ones at the same time. And I can remember a client getting really mad at us and calling me specifically a moron because I did not know how to open a door to get into a garage to get to the irrigation clock. The door was locked. I mean, and she came over glaring and I just looked and I said, you know, this has got to stop. So we started working on it. I'm like, there's no reason we can't have an electronic way to do this. And we worked with a lot of companies out there. Dewater, we worked with Weathermatic and got really close with Weathermatic. But we needed to get to a place where we didn't have those types of unprofessional conversations and that we were better at what we did, right? No, can you imagine training an account manager that comes out of college and say, by the way, you've got one mower, you got one one-eater, one blower you use. And by the way, when it comes to irrigation, you've got 40 customers and you've got 40 different clocks and you're supposed to just know.
Crazy.
It's insane. Right. Yeah. So that's just efficiencies. And so how did we fix that? Every client that came on board our system had to take our standard clock. It's one of the part of the business. But we learned, Marty. First, we tried to charge for it. That was a hard sell and we sold about 10% of them. Then we said, we're going to raise your prices by X dollars. And we only sold about another 10% of them. We're 9 months into this project. And then we said, guess what? It's free. It's included in your service. It wasn't free. We just included it in the price of the service. And everybody had to take it.
Right.
You solve problems. So I think the outsider's perspective of looking at something like that is pretty darn cool, right?
Yes. Amen. Growing the business, like I know you worked with Weathermatic closely. There's people that we've had relationships with that we've introduced you to, the same thing. I watch you navigate relationships. I watch you talk the same way to a young ace we have that's doing $750,000 a year in sales. And they're 24 years old to a 56-year-old ace that's doing $35 million. Relationships matter to you. Speak to the power of relationships and how that helped you grow the landscaping company you were part of, how that's helped with McFarland Stanford, how that's such an integral part of the teachings that we have in ACES. Share us your wisdom gold on relationships.
I wish I could pinpoint some wisdom and gold on relationships. I'll just say, you know, you go back to use your line. Relationships matter at all levels. If you're sincere and you have a quest for knowledge, or you actually have a bit of information that others want to share with you, or you want to share with them to make them better, the world becomes a better place. it's much easier. And I take relationships very seriously. I was taught that actually at International Paper. I actually think it was innate. As an only child growing up in New Orleans and had cousins that you had to keep in touch with, I'm really good about keeping in touch with people. But that being said, I'm a man of my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And that's been very novel in this industry. And I'll tell you the funny part, it's novel in every industry. Even when I was in big business, I would always get called on, well, you told me you would do it and you did it. What else was I going to do? I'm not quite sure how to operate differently. So when it comes to relationships mattering at all levels, you know, the relationships that happen in ACES is really off the charts. And that, I'd love to say that's you or that's me, but it's not. It's you put 12 companies together of individuals who are running similar types of companies when they're putting groups together, right? Who have similar types of issues, who have nobody to speak to. And when I say that nobody to speak to, you're supposed to be the professional. You're supposed to know it all. You can't go home to your spouse and say, hey, this is, I mean, they typically don't know. They may have some great business advice or just religious side of things, but it's just not there. When you're talking to your ACE peer group members, they've all been in the same spot or they're in the middle of the same spot, and together you get better. And fostering those relationships, when people bring me questions, my first reply is always, well, have you asked your group? Right? Which, by the way, is the exact same thing if they came to work for me. If they came to bring me a question outside of their group,
right, you ask your team.
The same team, then yeah. Would you ask your team?
That's a great point.
Coach people to seek others to get the answers who are doing it day to day, as opposed to me being the answer guy, you being the answer guy, and so forth. So, you know, remembering important things. At International Paper, one of the first things they taught us was just to remember everybody's birthday. You know, and that may be funny because you and I have talked about that, because I feel everybody.
Because you've had a major impact on our entire organization here with what you're about to talk about.
Yeah, everybody knows everybody's birthday. I mean, go to Facebook and your last 150 contacts have told you happy birthday. That's awesome. You probably got a bunch of phone calls too. But, you know, when it comes to the workplace, nobody tells you happy anniversary. Right.
Right.
And the goal in the landscape business, in my mind, is to keep people as long as humanly possible.
Right.
When I was in the day-to-day, I always said we were in a relationship that we would grow old together and bowl on a bowling team. And I was being dead serious. I mean, that was what the intention was.
I want you to say that again, that we will grow old together and be on the bowling team together.
Bowl on a bowling team together, right? Because if you
enjoy
the people you work with, you're going to bowl.
I've not heard you say that. That's great.
Yeah, so bowl. But, you know, learning the birthday side of things was important. Well, taking it to this side of the business, it's about longevity. It's about making sure that the team members that work for you stay for a long time, that understand the properties they're responsible for, understand the properties that they've built on before, and remember things about the owners that they work with. Well, amongst the team, nobody rewards anniversaries. And the big deal is longevity is something that absolutely needs to be managed and maintained and measured and talked about publicly inside of a landscaping firm, right? So I always say, make sure you're rewarding those for their anniversary. Rewarding could just be happy anniversary. But I'll go one step further, Marty. I know you remember me saying this to you. It's not about you telling everybody happy anniversary. It's about you telling whoever their supervisor is that it's John's anniversary so that the supervisor can tell John happy anniversary.
Right.
Because what am I trying to do? I'm fostering relationships between those two.
And Jim, that I got to tell you, I don't know if you know this, but that has had a monumental impact on our organization. So we post on our private Facebook page on somebody's birthday, but we also do it on their anniversary. They get a card from me with a handwritten note thanking them. They also get a card with a handwritten note from their supervisor with a gift card that is $25 for every year they've been here. So we got some guys that have been here over 20 years that are getting a $500 anniversary card. So we wouldn't have done that, because I listened to you teach this and I'm like, God, that's right. The greatest thing, look at how much money we save if somebody stays another year in terms of training. Maybe a client really likes them, so they keep us on or whatever. There's only good things that come from that. And I think, Jim, at times we hear, you know, we always hear from our ACES like, you know, I got to find people. Well, the best way to find people is to make your place a great place to work. And the longer tenure people have, the less people you got to look for, and the more leaders you have to put in another branch office and carry on the culture that you have. I mean, it's the key to success. So, you know, what I learned from you on that anniversary thing just opened my eyes up to so much.
And this will tie back to something we just said, because great people get great people. Yep, it's inevitable. So just tying it back to that. So making people understand what they mean to you, telling them what they mean to you, is a lot more than the paycheck. And it's my experience, no matter what role I've been in any company, it's never been about the paycheck.
Right. Well, no, and I can tell that. And it probably sounds like a love fest here. I'm sharing how much I enjoy you, but I'm not the easiest person in the world to get along with. I'm not the easiest person in the world to do business with. And I love working with you, Jim. When we recently completed the ACE Summit in New Orleans, you know my favorite restaurant is Clancy's, which you introduced me to 8 years ago. It's my absolute favorite place anywhere. And I've been to restaurants with you in Italy and all kinds of other stuff together. That's my favorite. And you made certain that we all went to lunch there. And maybe you did it for everybody, but I'm going to tell you, I kind of felt like you did it for me, and I was grateful for it. And that's the thing, you know, Dale Carnegie said, take an interest in others will take an interest in you. You do that really, really well. Relationships are powerful. Let's talk a little bit more here. We're with Jim Calai from McFarland Stanford, our strategic partners. We're on the Grow Show powered by Steel. One-on-one meetings. That's another thing that I learned from you. Talk to me about one-on-one meetings.
Yeah, I think about one-on-one meetings, and in the landscape industry, I've had a lot of pushback on one-on-ones from the get-go, and certainly as a coach. And I got to tell you that there is no better time spent with any of your direct reports than a one-on-one meeting, once a week, the same day, the same hour, week after week. You only cancel them if you're in a hospital or you're puking. Otherwise, you manage your calendar. And I say this to landscapers all the time. Like, what happens if this great customer calls me and says, you need to stop by today at 3 o'clock? You say, awesome. I got a meeting at 3 o'clock. I'll meet you at 4:30. Like, people need to respect calendars. And it takes the conviction of the individual who has a calendar to run with it. But back to one-on-ones. One-on-ones is your only time, in my opinion, that you're spending time with your direct report to do what? To listen what's going on in their life. Listen to what's going on in their role. See where they were last week, see where they are this week, and plan where we're going a couple of weeks out. It's really that simple, right? And I've had pushbacks from people asking, well, we do that once a month. I'm like, I'm glad you build 12 points of momentum in a year. How about driving 52 weeks of momentum in a year? Because what? Every single one-on-one, you're reporting back to what you've done since you were there the time before. You're meeting the commitments that you made in the meeting before about where you're going next. Is everybody perfect? No, but it actually causes everybody from a line in the sand of where you're at, and then myself as a boss, or I'd say a team member, but as the boss, would sit there and say, they're not getting something over the finish line. Why? Help me figure this out. I'll dive into this with you, because we wouldn't have determined it's something you needed to work on to begin with. So there had to be a meaningful reason why we discussed we need to get this done. And my job at that point is to help them get it across the finish line, right? Those moments build so much momentum in an organization. Right. No matter what you do, every time you draw a line in the sand, you're going to be building momentum. So from a one-on-one perspective, you're building 52 weeks of momentum. When you do profit sharing programs, I suggest you do it by the quarter, because you're setting goals by the quarter. Right. So every quarter you're pushing the envelope to get certain goals done as part of your organization to get the profit share that you may have earned. Right. I'm all about constant lines in the sand. So it's consistency, consistency. So consistency of one-on-ones that we just discussed. I just added profit sharing in the middle of it. Consistency of anniversary celebrations, consistency of, one of those points I made that day, Complete Land Sculpture years ago, was just tell everybody that the Christmas party is the first Friday of December and call it a day and never discuss it again. It cracks me up how many people discuss when that party's going to be every year or whatever they celebrate. Whatever it is, just be consistent with what you're doing, because it helps people build trust in you. It helps get you out of the middle of everything. And back to the one-on-one piece, those relationships that you form in your opportunity to grow individuals in that one-on-one is probably your only time as a leader in landscaping that you're spending time working with your direct report to make them better or teach them what you do so you don't have to do it the rest of your life.
Right. And that's what helps you scale a business. That's what helps you, and I'm flattered by people that say, Marty, I can't believe you run two companies. Well, Jim, as you well know, I really don't run two companies. Okay. Vince runs the Grow Group and Seth runs Grunder Landscaping. But that wasn't just, oof, go do it. Vince has been running alongside me for 13 years. He was my intern out of the University of Dayton, for God's sakes. Seth's been here 11 years. He spent 5 years doing all kinds of roles before he really had a significant leadership role here. And now he's running the whole thing. So, the one thing I've learned from you about the one-on-ones is, I don't think we've touched on, my guess is, you get a tremendous amount of pushback with people telling you they don't have time. When I would argue, you're not looking at this right, because now instead of taking a phone call every 20 minutes or 7 times a day from Charlie, Charlie saves those questions for the one-on-one, right?
Right. Now, that's a great point that you're bringing up. The whole point of a one-on-one is to have that time together, but it's also to minimize communication in between. If you're hiring leaders, they're working for you. Every time they stop you, you stop what you're doing. And every time you stop them, they stop what they're doing, right?
And the momentum, you can't, that's like having a bike with one side of the tires flat. Like it goes and then it's a clunk. And you got to try to get it going again. It doesn't work that way in business.
So you stop people when they bring you those other moments. You're like, great. You know, if you need me to answer that right now, awesome, we'll do it. But think about this next time. Just save that for the one-on-one. You know, we'll talk about that in the one-on-one so you don't have to stop and worry about it. But if it's not time constrained, let's just go ahead and save that for the next one-on-one to cover that. Yep.
I hope everyone's listening to this. I mean, Jim is spitting out some gold here that can help you. Let me talk about a couple other things I've learned from you. Speak about traditions and the power of that in a landscaping company, establishing them, keeping them going. Talk about the traditions.
Yeah, you know, traditions are, it goes back to, I just talked a second ago about building trust inside of an organization. You know, if you have traditions, be it the holiday party, it's always on the first Friday month of December, call it whatever it is, right? If you always celebrate when the H2Bs arrive, if you have H2Bs on your team and what the tradition is around that, or what the tradition is when they leave, the tradition of celebrating maybe the 4th of July, and you always do it the Friday before the 4th of July, you're not recreating the wheel all the time, but consistently we know what's expected of leadership and vice versa of the team in regards to the give and take, right? So it builds trust, right? And I always talk about it like if your grandmother's in an old folks home, if you leave the old folks home and you don't tell her when you come to see her next, she has nothing to build. She doesn't know what's coming next.
It's something to look forward to.
100%, right? And so it's always where, you know what, we said to a one-on-one. It's where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. No different for these traditions inside of an organization, be it whether it was a record month of sales. I can tell you in the day-to-day of landscaping, we had the kings and queens of green dinner. It was always the Wednesday past the month closing. Whenever we had a record revenue month, it was
I'm writing that one down.
It was Texas Day Brazil, and we brought the whole middle management team and above. We would go 2 to 4 times a year because we would have a record revenue month. It wasn't month over month. It was literally a record revenue month, right? And so that was a tradition we had. If we had a record revenue month, and that you, whenever you closed the month, whenever the next Wednesday was, we were at that restaurant doing the same celebration, right? Kings and queens of green dinner, right? We had in our departments, we had our department heads host the kickoff this spring season at the head of the department's house. Not my house, not the CEO's house, but the head of the department. Why? Because I want to put them in a position that they have their own traditions that they can count on when they're leading, you know, for their seasonality. That's just a couple of ideas. We went on annual, you know, retreats with our team. Well, here's the funny part. We would always hold our tongues on where we were going for our retreats. Our retreats were in pretty nice places. We're talking like, you know, Vail, Colorado, Deer Valley, and things like that. And we'd bring the team and their spouses. But we would never announce where we were going until the first 100-degree day in Dallas heat.
So cool.
Who the heck looks forward to the first 100-degree of Dallas heat that's a landscaper? Our team. And guess what? Our spouses.
Right.
Right? So just pick something, and if it's fun and it works, go with it. We always started, every new middle management team member went to the same crazy Class B steakhouse, steak restaurant in Dallas when they started. Why? Because we all went to Dunstan's on the first day of somebody's job. Just what we did, right?
What does executing relentlessly mean to Jim Calli?
Oh, a never-ending task list that I can't get to the bottom of. That's the only way you're going to somehow get to the bottom of that task list. I mean, every moment of every hour is an opportunity to not only make a difference to you and what you're trying to succeed, but those who are around you who share in what your common goals are as in an organization. You could say the same thing within family, right? So that relentless execution is you only go forward if you're going forward and if you're only moving things forward. Otherwise, you're stagnant. You're not going anywhere. And I've always wanted to be a part of a company and part of a team and have led that way to make sure that we all are building momentum. This is not for everybody, right?
Right. Well said.
Not everybody can take that pace. And there's many people who work for along the way who said, you know, I'm not interested in building standard operating procedures. I get it.
Right.
That's okay. Right. But if we're not continuously have that act of execution and getting better, we're going to still, what's the whole thing? It's if you try things twice and you have the same result, I'm losing.
Insanity.
Right. I can't do the insanity piece. I got to move the ship forward.
Jim, the thing that together we have worked on the most is our ACE program. I believe we have over 200 companies in our ACEs now. We're closing in on $1.5 billion in combined revenue, which I think that would make us the second or third largest landscaping company in the country if you're going to add them all up.
Yep, sure.
And I get it. You could say, well, you're not. But I'm just trying to let you folks know the power of these groups, the lives that we're changing. As much as Jim and I, for our own ego, would probably like to say it's because of us, it's not. It's the community that right. we're facilitating discussions. Talk a little bit about our ACE program, the growth that we've had. Give us a little insight on the ACEs.
Well, first of all, I thank you for getting us involved in the ACEs, because you know when we became coaches in this business, I could only coach one person at a time, and maybe I can coach three or four, but it's really rather difficult, right? And a goal in my life actually was to be a college professor when I got older, do my career, do all this kind of stuff, and then go affect the next generation of business leaders and things like that. And essentially, I'm fulfilling this with ACEs, right? So here is the thing with the ACE program. When you work, when you put 12 companies together, right, who are having a similar discussion points that we were talking about earlier in the podcast today, the amount of knowledge that can come out of that from people who have tried things that have failed, tried things that have worked, tried things that have worked and said, don't ever do this because this was really risky, and share of themselves. Landscapers are amazing, amazing clients. They're amazing friends. And that's because they're a very open group of individuals, but they never found themselves in that situation, right? I mean, do you go down right. the street in Dayton and talk to your other landscapers in Dayton about how we can build the landscaping business? You can't, right?
So you're afraid to do it. You don't want to do it. You feel threatened. I think that's human nature. You're trying to protect the very business entity that feeds your family.
Yep. So when you put yourself in an environment with similar individuals and you can be open, honest, and transparent, to use your hot acronym that you right. use all the time when you kick off the ACE program with, when you're honest and you're open and transparent about everything in your life and everything in your business, because it's not just about the business. We talk a lot about life in the meetings too.
And we have men and women crying at meetings because there's so much emotion wrapped up in these businesses.
Yes. And as they get closer together and the freedom to talk just happens. You know, it's usually after.
And go on vacations together. I mean, it's awesome what's happening.
Yeah. So those relationships are built. It's been interesting because I know that when you and I started talking and Jason and Vince and I and you were talking about the program, when we started talking about how do we put together an annual meeting, the ACE Summit, right? So that we bring all the different individual ACE groups right. together to network, because I'm all about, it's not just about the 12 people you're working with. It's honestly about people that have similar, you know, aspirations, right. whether they're that $850,000 guy you were talking about earlier, the $30 million or the $80 million guy. They typically want to be in the same room. So how do we build this program? And we thought when we were in those planning meetings that we'd start an ACE group, and that after year two, we'd lose a few people, three, and that by year four or five, they might be gone, but they'd come back every year to our ACE Summit because they'd be called an alumnus, right? Well, first of all, nobody's leaving the program. And the second thing is, ironically, they don't want to leave their group. And you know, I love relationships. I would have been somebody who would have left groups, but I would have absolutely kept in touch with everybody from before. But I would have just built my network. But I guess what I'm seeing from afar is what you and I probably didn't expect is you talk about vacation together and being a part of each other's businesses and being at grand openings and all these pieces together. The relationships that are fostered there are off the charts amazing, and it's wonderful. And I got to tell you, from my perspective, rewarding beyond imagination to watch that happen.
It is. It's so amazing. I see pictures on Facebook of, you know, ACEs that go on vacation together. I know that, you know, folks, full disclosure, if I were still running ACEs and we didn't have Jim helping us, our meetings would probably be at the Hampton Inn. We don't do that anymore. Before we wrap up, I want you to talk a little bit about the international flair we've brought to ACEs. But before we go into that, what's your favorite thing about ACEs?
The people. I mean, 100%, right? It's whether you're sitting there in the morning and you're going out to someone's business for the morning startup and you're all yawning and drinking, you may be drinking a cup of coffee or something else to get going for the day. And we all know that we're there for one common reason, and that's to help out each other. That's my favorite part of the ACE program.
Yeah. And I, you know, my mind's racing. I'm thinking about ACE Hank Parker that's in Mobile, Alabama, and the first visit we did to his place. And I remember when we had the first meeting with him, he was sitting in the corner in that room in New Orleans, and he said in his Alabama accent, He said, so Marty, what you're telling me is I'm the problem. And I said, yes, that's what I'm telling you. And that guy took that advice, and to see what he's doing now, you know, folks, we don't want to mislead you. It's not Jim and Marty that have done the work. Our lessons stay the same. It's just not everybody gets them and goes on with it. He's one that's gotten it and gone on with it. We got tons of success stories. So, you know, to impart my favorite part, it is the people. It's watching them do things that I don't think they realized they could do. And I think what happens in ACES, Jim, is that for the first time in a lot of these owners and leaders' lives, they realize they don't have some strange disease. Like somebody else is dealing with this too. And I think once there's a little sympathy, like, I get you, we can start working on solutions instead of talking about all of our problems. Does that make sense?
Well, and then what better organization do you want to be a part of than an organization that helps hear you out and get rid of all your problems? I mean, let's just be honest. That was a really great way to sum it up, Marty, because that's the truth. And Hank Parker is one of my closest friends now. He spent Easter with my family. Like, he's an incredible business leader. Where his business is today with the leadership team that he has in place and his field team members and how he's knows who his ideal client is. He has his focus, and wow, that's wild.
Oh, it is a wow. And to watch, you know, we've watched his kids grow up a little bit here in the last 8 years or so, and I see pictures of them, and it's just very, very rewarding. All right, let's talk about the international side to what we do. Last year, Lisa, my wife, and I went with you and our ACE Legacy group to Florence, Italy. It was amazing. Where did that idea come from? What is that all about? And how can people get involved in that thing if they're in ACES or want to be in ACES? What part does that play in what we're doing?
So Italy is, we'll take a step back over where Italy came from. So I had the fortunate honor of attending a surprise 50th birthday party at this monastery on top of a mountain in Italy, I guess.
It is on top of a mountain.
It's on top of a mountain about 8 years ago, and was able to stay with, you know, 15 couples or 30 people up there and understand the finer side of Italy that I'd never been a part of before. I'd done a lot of international travel with FedEx, but not to this particular area of Italy. And the thing we liked about it so much is it's just adults laying back and enjoying each other's time and doing it in a part of the world that has a history beyond imagination and being able to see some of the sites. We visit Frescobaldi. We spend time in Florence to see the David and things like that. And where this all happened was I went there on the second trip. I was on a coaching call with Claire Goldman of R&R Landscape in Auburn, Alabama, who was also
there. Eagle.
More Eagle. Yeah. And she's like, where are you? Like, and I'm like, well, I'm in Italy. And she's like, why are you talking to me? I'm like, well, somebody's got to pay for this mess. And I'm just doing coaching over here to keep the consistency and the momentum of all the coaching that I do. And she's like, well, you really suck. And I'm like, what? She goes, well, why do I suck? She's like, well, you shouldn't be doing this while you're there, first of all. And second of all, I think you should bring our peer group. I'm like, here? She's like, yeah, I think it'll be a fantastic opportunity. You know, I've never been to Italy. I don't think anybody in the group's been to Italy. Why don't you try and take us to Italy? Well, I was standing there with one of our other coaches, Tracy Wallingford, who actually happened to be on that trip because we're friends outside of work. And she was there and she's like standing over my shoulder saying, yep, we can do this. No problem. Well, we've now brought three groups over to Italy. We've got one this year. We've got four going in 2025. It's an experience of a lifetime.
It was amazing. You get to learn how wine is made, the site, the food, the bonding that was even, you know, that group, some of those folks in my group have been in our ACE program for 20 years.
Right.
And they're still in there. And
of them five.
The bonding, how much fun we had. You know, I ate like a pig and didn't gain any weight. I still do not understand. I think it had something to do with the 30,000 steps a day, maybe. But folks, you got to look into this program. It's an absolutely amazing experience. And, you know, it's cool because it kind of, you're in a different country. Everything is new and different. You have a different perspective on your life. There was a lot of contemplation I had going over there. My wife and I had a very, very memorable time. You know, I mentioned to you, Jim, at some point, I'm going to take my whole family over to that estate that we stayed at. Just a just a great thing, and what we've learned. So
yeah, and it's a first class 5-star resort. It's not a resort. It's a home. It's somebody's personal home that you're a part of, and that owner happens to be there for the entire trip. And it's like having 15 for one bedroom suites where everybody's separate enough to not be on top of each other and then be together when the time's right. And I've never seen a place like it in the world. So I'm excited that idea came out. I'm excited Claire Goldman called me on it and told me we should be doing this for others.
I didn't realize. Now that you say that, I remember you telling the story, and that's an awesome part of this. Jim Aces, if folks are listening to The Grow Show powered by Steel, maybe they're getting to know me and you a little bit better here, and they're thinking, maybe I need to see what this Aces is all about. By the way, Aces stands for Accountability Creates Excellence. How can somebody learn more about Aces? Talk about Discovery, which is this November in New Orleans, right?
Right. So before you join an ACE program, Marty, this is something you and I and Jason and Vince put together early on, is we wanted a teaser where people would come in and test the peer group, i.e. so they could see exactly what it happened to be about, make sure that they had a depth of knowledge once they left, not only about the program, but they would learn something that they could bring back and do something with it. Because we're always about, you learn something, that's awesome, but when are you going to execute it, right? And then from that, it's the peer group program for them, right? And from that, they can choose to be an ACE. Well, we onboard people twice a year now. We do it every March, actually in New Orleans, and we do it every November as part of the ACE Summit. Earlier, we talked about ACE Summit. ACE Summit's where we bring all the ACEs together and any ACE alumni. So if you're an alumnus or an active ACE, you can come to the ACE Summit where we give 3 days of education. We break bread. Spouses are there. Right-hand men and women come to the ACE Summit. And then we have great meals together, but we test content for Grow. And so all of our content that we were bringing to that, we're getting people prepared for the following year. So the ACE Summit tied to Discovery is an opportunity to see what ACEs are about and also get to network with other individuals. So every March and every November is an ACE Discovery program. If you want to be an ACE member, you have got to attend it. One of those two ACE Discoveries that we have per year. You can find information on the McFarland Stanford website. You can find information on the Grow Group website. We'll tie you straight back to what that program's all about. And it is an incredible investment in you to do something like that. And you will learn a ton regardless of whether you're going to go forward.
And it's an ROI issue. You know, quite frankly, Jim, I had a prospect a couple months ago. You may not like this, but he called me and he said, hey, the only problem I got with the ACEs is how much it costs. And I said, if you're worried about that, don't even join, okay? Because if you can't see the ROI out of this thing, it's pennies for what you get out of it. And that's part of the reason why we do the ACE Summit or the Discovery around the ACE Summit and the Discovery independently, because we can't show you a video and we can't give you a PDF and we can't even talk to you on the phone or over a Zoom or Teams call and explain to you. We put you in a room and you get to see what the meeting's like. And now you're like, oh my gosh, there were so many ideas here. They put me on the hot seat. They made me feel like I was sweating a little bit here for the first time in my life. And I didn't die. I got better with the experience share. This was great. So that's why we do it.
Yep. It exactly. Because And everybody comes away from Discovery excited about the program. I mean,
Jim, the things that I have learned from listening, a lot of the stuff, you know, I'll hear issues going on in companies and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing that to my people. I got to wake up. What am I doing? I veered away from where I should be. It's just been an amazing experience. Is there anything that I didn't ask you or anything else you want to share before we wrap it up?
No, I think we nailed it all. I'll add this one little piece to the end. When we're talking about Italy, on all the trips we've been to, generally 2/3 of the individuals have never left North America, right?
That was me.
And that's a really cool feeling as somebody like myself, because my work internationally taught me a ton about what's going on in the world, and a lot of people have fear for that. And our goal is to do what? With ACEs, is to open everybody's eyes to what's going on around them. Being able to go on a trip like that, and we handle you from the minute you get there to the minute you leave, and build that level of confidence.
It was easy.
You know, that level of confidence so that they're planning their own trips after that. Once again, I'd say we're changing people's lives by giving them the confidence to do these types of things, whether it be in business, whether it be the travel piece, or the things we're doing. That's the best part about ACEs, and that's where I'd like to leave it.
Well, you are the travel Jedi. You know, I always call you my future son-in-law and my daughter. They're going to Italy for their honeymoon. I hooked the two of you up so that they could get advice from Uncle Jim. Because, and lo and behold, you saved them money on the tickets. You told them what to do. My daughter called back and said, oh my gosh, Dad, you were right. We wouldn't have known to do that. I said, I didn't know to do that either. So the ACE experience is awesome. Jim, I am grateful for you. I'm grateful for your friendship. I'm grateful for everything that you've done for the Grow Group. You're a great partner. Thanks for being on the Grow Show.
Right back at you, Marty. We feel the same way, and I do too. All right. Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for the Grow Show powered by Steel this week. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to the Grow Show. And if you can, do us a favor, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, share this episode with your team or any landscape pro you know. Thanks for joining us this week on The Grow Show. We'll talk to you next week. So long, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.